Let's go back into history.
September 11th, 2001. You will remember this day as long as you live. Good evening again. This is CBS News continuing coverage of the attack on America. A series of coordinated terror strikes today at this country, its people, our freedom. Strikes that came without warning. Four U.S. commercial jetliners were hijacked. Two crashed into the World Trade Center here in New York City and sent the giant twin towers filled with workers crumbling to the ground. A third hijacked airliner slammed into the seat of American military power, the Pentagon. The fourth hijacked airliner, target unknown, but possibly a target intended in or near Washington, went down in southwestern Pennsylvania. Here's what's happening at this hour. As the evening goes on and night begins to fall in New York and Washington, brave rescue workers are searching desperately for victims in the rubble of the World Trade Center towers and a third building around the World Trade Center that also collapsed. 50,000 people generally work in the World Trade Center. A count of the dead, still a long way off. Emergency operations are also continuing at the scene of the crisis at the Pentagon in Pennsylvania. There were well over 250 people on the four crashed planes. In contrast to the chaos on the ground, the skies are eerily quiet because the FAA has grounded all civilian aircraft at least until noon tomorrow. There is unprecedented security around the leadership of the U.S. government. President George W. Bush will address the nation from Washington, we're now told, at 9 Eastern time this evening. And that will be roughly 2.5 hours from now, the president will address the nation. The president has put the U.S. military on high alert worldwide. President Bush vowed that the United States will find and punish whoever's behind what he described as, quote, these cowardly acts. Early speculation, underscore the word speculation, centers on Osama bin Laden. We have mobilized the full resources of CBS News to bring you clear, accurate coverage of this day that will live in infamy. CBS News correspondents and producers are deployed throughout the country and around the world. We begin here in New York City, ground zero for the attack on America.
Mary Good.
Mary Good.
You can't control anything. I hate you.
Okay.
This is a new one.
A new what?
How dare you? How dare you do that?
I don't hear it.
22nd was yesterday, and that was supposed to be the day of the big terrorist attack in America. We were supposed to have a second wave.
Doesn't work.
But the government is warning of another wave of attacks coming at some point. So.
Well, whatever.
Mailbox is already in use. Please try again later.
I won the football pool, $290. Gonna buy me a $20 cigar.
End of message from.
Look at me with a fishbowl.
Well, congratulations. That's very good that you won that. I'm glad you finally did. I'm really surprised. I didn't think you'd be able to. That you would win over everyone else. That's very excellent. And, well, now that you've got the money, I guess you'll be able to treat me to an evening of food and, Mortal Kombat, and maybe, you know, maybe some sushi. You can finally take me out to sushi and not feel any guilt since it's, $290. You can spend $10-$20 on your buddy. Yeah, sure. I'll do the same for you when I win something, ever, if I ever have any money. So, I'll be looking forward to our sushi treat. Sushi party, party Joe wins money party, that you will buy me sushi from this winning. So a good deal. I can't wait. I'm already hungry. Mmm. Maguro. Ooh, I might even try the roe with the quail's egg. Yeah, I might even try that shrimp's head thing you eat. Yeah. So, you name the time and the place, and we'll enjoy some sushi courtesy your football pool. And congratulations.
Tuesday, December 1st. 3:21 a.m.
is the key to breaking the code, as it were, of the ultimate secrets of the universe. Dr. Smoot, for example, who discovered the ripples in space, says that this project is essential to determine the nature of the matter, the dark matter in space, which may be 80% of the matter in space.
But you heard Dr. Roy say that, a bunch of people have been, as he put it, befuddled by hyper-language about things they don't even understand.
But I'm sure Dr. Roy is a good scientist, but this is not his field. He is not a high-energy physicist. Those who are high-energy physicists do support this project. They've been... The Nobel laureates and another 2,000 have written the committee about it and testified before it.
If I may interrupt just a moment here, and I don't mean to be rude, Bennett, but Dr. Letterman, he's correct. Dr. Letterman is for this project, just as I'm for it. But here's what he said. Spinoffs would be a crazy reason for building the collider. We don't build it for the spinoffs. We build it because we're curious. Now, $20 billion is a lot of curiosity.
But he also, it's not $20 billion. What the
That's
government,
the lifetime cost of the project.
Do you support the super collider?
It's more than $20 billion. No, that is just
it's
not
It's much
true.
More than $20 billion.
No, they haven't turned dirt yet, and the cost is $20 billion.
And well, they're not even talking about the money that they will put. It's a welfare program for the state of Texas. And we will be putting out
super collider.
$1 billion. Every senator who's being conned by his local constituent to say, look, I'm going to get a $100 million project, should remember that that state will send about $500 million every year from now to eternity to the state of Texas. That's a welfare.
That's just not true. Just not
really,
true.
You know, I took this issue last year. I got 37 votes. I'll do better this year.
You may start your message now. 9:33 p.m.
Well, could you help out a super collider?
Science and and space and getting off the fucking planet and getting out there and relieving the burden of the planet. No, let's cut the money for all of them. Like, up $2 billion for the space station. Ooh, they spend trillions of dollars on shit and they can't give $2 billion for a space station, which is, like, probably the best thing you could do with that fucking money. Totally insane. They go, well, let's not play around in space till we solve all our problems here on Earth. You know, if someone had said that to Columbus, don't go looking for America until we get all the problems solved here in Europe, then we'd still be all living in Europe. That is such narrow-mindedness. Complete insanity. Anyways, the reason I really called is because there's going to be an earthquake soon. I just thought I'd let you know that. Goodbye.
End of message.
And now, it's time for another meeting with the Director of Depressive Premonitions for the No Use Media Deadnet, Krusty Breadbox, and his year-end Thoughts Anew.
Good hello. I'm Krusty Breadbox, bringing you another year-end Thoughts Anew.
I just said that.
You know, it's time for another year to end, and a new one to begin, as does happen every year around this time. But this wasn't just any year, as it turns out. The year 2001 stands out not only for being the real start of the 21st century, but also as a banner year for disaster. From the swearing-in of George W. Bush as our default president, to the terrorist attacks of September 11th and beyond, from the ever-deepening recession to the rampant widespread unemployment, the year 2001 has provided more reasons to be mentally ill than any year in recent memory. And yet surely this is only a harbinger of things to come. And so it is with these new beginnings and painful old memories in mind that I bring you my year-end wrap-up commentary entitled 2001, Looking Back at the End of a New Millennium's Final Beginning. Well, what can I say about 2001? Never before has the goal to maintain an unmaintainable system been so unattainable. With the election results in virtually the same ratios as if the votes had been cast at random, where a search for the word anxiety now yields well over 1,000 titles on Amazon.com, with the imminent depletion of artistic resources, and with terrorists coming out of the woodwork, it is clear that the system is now becoming too damaged and too complicated to maintain, while at the same time the people who maintain the system are becoming generally too uneducated or too crazy to keep up. It is curiously fitting that the beginning of the end should happen in 2001, the same year Stanley Kubrick's immortal masterpiece was set. Just as the bone slipped from an overzealous caveman's hand at the end of its opening sequence, just as the writing pen zero gravitated away from Dr. Langley's sleeping hand, so too are we now just starting to lose our grip on the technological tools that once served us, leaving the pod bay door to start its inexorable swing shut behind us. Now, if you're a typical Bay Area resident, listening to me talk about such dire subjects on late night radio, you're probably saying to yourself, all right, but what's in it for me? How can I make some money off this process? Well, I will admit that I am just a commentator and not a broker or an entrepreneur or a doctor. But keeping that in mind, I will say what is really going to be needed is a quick, easy, and above all, low-cost method to deal with the legions of depressed, panicked, or just plain psychotic individuals being produced by a crumbling system. That's why, on January 1st, I'm introducing for immediate wide release my new self-help book entitled Stop Blubbering or I'll Slap the Living Crap Out of You. This comprehensive book offers forth the revolutionary new approach of SLAP therapy. SLAP therapy, a behavior modification program developed by myself and UMN's Dr. Oslo Norway, has been, or shall I say, will be used in the treatment of anxiety, depression, panic disorder, schizoaffective disorder, and borderline personality disorder, to name just a few. A version of this approach is already familiar to us from countless movies of yesteryear when a character in the story is slapped in order to get them to stop panicking or crying during a stressful situation. We have taken this psychological device, termed the Corleone technique, and moved it up to the therapeutic level, wherein the patient is beaten, slapped, punched, and pummeled, in a controlled setting, of course, in an effort to help them move forward and find more positive directions for the course of their lives. For example, if the patient comes into the therapist's office and starts complaining about such issues as the state of his or her life, their inability to succeed, their feelings of worthlessness, etc., the therapist will then leap from his or her chair and strike the patient in the face, hard. This will provide what I term a moment of synergistic imperative that not only breaks their cycle of depressive rumination and dependence, but also provides a strong motivator to take action and avoid such behavior in the future. Possible side effects of this approach include bruising and the occasional lost tooth. But these unfortunate effects are generally only seen in difficult patients who require more extensive treatment. Side effects, as any professional knows, do not invalidate a therapeutic approach. After all, bruises fade, but the long-term effects of therapy last a lifetime.
I'm not playing the game anymore. Go ahead, feel sorry for yourself. I'm bleeding again. Goodbye. I just want you to know that I never felt so alone as I did last night in my entire life. Right now, actually, I never felt so alone. Thanks a lot. My arms are going numb, my face is getting numb. I guess I must have bled a lot. And when I bleed, both my arms go to sleep. I'm sorry you can't deal with this, poor you. But I really would like you to come over, please. Please help me. I feel sorry that you must not care, but I guess I'll just go to Bob's and I'll walk until I die. Maybe I'll do that. I'm sorry you don't care. I really do. I feel sorry for you, actually. But, my hands are going numb. I gotta go. Feelings coming back in my hands. One of them, anyway. I think I'm gonna be alright, but you made me so mad. And I got a crank call. I got even madder last night, and I don't need this shit. I can't believe you don't care. I thought we were friends. I never want to see you again. Hey, listen. Sorry I got so upset at you. I know I'm not dying, but you just made me bleed. I got real mad, and there's more blood inside me, and I'm sorry. Thanks for your concern. Oh, and you're a great gal, too.
Yeah.
You know what? You people are really strange. I just called my mom. She's gambling right now, and she doesn't want to be disturbed. I got so mad at you, too. You know, you're a lot alike. I'm bleeding real bad inside. My head's numb. I can't get mad. I can't walk. I can't get mad. I feel like I'm going to pass out. Fuck, what's wrong with you people? What the fuck? I can't fucking get mad, okay? Oh, Jesus Christ. It hurts. It Yeah, I found out what was wrong with me. It's colonitis, and it's actually where it was before I got hit with a baseball bat. My spleen was hurting because of this weird weather. I could feel my old battle wounds. And plus, he had a Rambler, and it ran really great until he had an accident, and now it don't look so great. If you're there, call me at this number, 269-369. You! Go on!
In this time of national crisis, it becomes clear that we must put aside our differences and our fears to come together in the spirit of the values we all cherish. Values such as justice, truth, freedom, honor, the things that make our nation great and unite us all against those that would threaten our way of life. That's why I sell burgers. Hi folks, Ronald Redball here for Ronald's Cracklin' Burger Grill. Remember me? I used to be famous on shows like Over the Edge, Midnight Voice Jail, and Nick at Night's Love That Ronald. Now I sell burgers. Still, we have now virtually contained all contamination in our cooking facilities. Our burgers are now made with some meat. Some utility-grade meat. So come on down. Bring the whole family. Remember, every Sunday night at Ronald's Cracklin' Burgers, eat kids free. Huh? Oh, I mean kids eat free. We're located on the interstate next to the Howard Johnsons. At Ronald's Cracklin' Burgers, we very, very much want your business and want you to know that if you don't eat my burgers, the terrorists win.
Ronald's Cracklin' Burger Grill is no longer associated with Steve Berman Enterprises, the Vespucci Meat Packing Plant, or Budget Janitorial Services. All claims made in this ad are still under review by the Food and Drug Administration, the Local Health Board, the Bankruptcy Review Board of San Jose, the Nevada Gaming Commission, and are subject to change.
Music, music, solid gold music.
You're immersed in the sound of retro reality radio. This is the National Cynical Network.
Bart makes it possible. Bart makes it possible. Bart makes it possible. Bart makes it possible.
Yes, Bart. We've been an integral part of Bay Area life for nearly 30 years. In the wake of our national tragedy, BART recognizes its responsibility to provide a safe, secure traveling environment to all its passengers. That's why each car has been assigned its very own drug-sniffing mascot, like Daisy here. Right, girl? Dogs like Daisy have been specially trained by law enforcement personnel to sniff out and instantly react to anyone who might be carrying certain odorous drugs on our trains, thus ensuring a safe environment for the rest of our law-abiding travelers. Remember, drugs are a form of terrorism too. We must do all we can to stop them in their tracks before they get to our children. And as soon as we get our labor problems worked out, Bart and Daisy are committed to making that happen.
Bart makes it possible. Bart makes it possible. Bart makes it possible.
And the doors are opening, Vic. We're watching, watching for the doorman to make the announcement.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
Up on their feet, members of the House and Senate standing, applauding, and cheering. Around me, the spectators' galleries, everybody is up on their feet applauding. And in the VIP box to my left, Mrs. Laura Bush leads the applause as the President begins to slowly make his way down the center aisle. Members of the House who staked out aisle side seats hours in advance to shake Mr. Bush's hand, reach out to touch him, to shake his hand as he goes by. As the nation watches, the President comes into the chamber to deliver this first, his first official State of the Union address.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, distinguished guests, President Cheney, as we gather tonight, our nation is at war, our economy is in recession, and the civilized world faces unprecedented dangers.
First of a number of standing ovations during the President's address. Both Democrats and Republicans in this House chamber on their feet cheering and applauding, and the VIP invited spectators joining them.
We last met in an hour of shock and suffering. In 4 short months, our nation has begun brutal oppression, rallied a great coalition, captured, arrested thousands, and destroyed Afghanistan's people. Thousands of dangerous killers, schooled in the methods of murder, thanks to the work of our law enforcement officials and coalition partners, are now spread throughout the world like ticking time bombs set to go off without warning. Our military has put the United States of America out of business. My hope is that all nations will heed our call. You will not escape this nation. America is a regime arming with missiles and weapons of mass destruction while starving its citizens. The United States of America exports terror while an unelected few repress the people's hope for freedom. History has called America and our allies to action, and it is both our responsibility and our privilege to fight and eliminate freedom. Now Americans deserve to have this same spirit directed toward addressing problems here at home. I'm a proud member of my party. Yet as we act to win the war, we must act first and foremost not as Republicans, not as Democrats, but as a terrorist underworld. It costs a lot to fight this war with the world's most destructive weapons. and we need more of them. We will pay. We will pay. We will pay. Once we have funded our national security and our homeland security, the final great priority of my budget is sorrow and pain for the American people. When America works, America prospers, so my economic security plan can be summed up in one word: pain. And all nations should know America will do what is necessary to make and deliver weapons of mass destruction. Good jobs depend on sound tax policy. Last year, some in this hall thought my tax relief plan was too big. But when the checks arrived in the mail, most Americans thought tax relief was too small. For too long, our culture has said, if it feels good, do it. Now America's embracing a new ethic and a new creed. Evil.
Revelation 18. After this I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her: death, mourning, and famine. she will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come." The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, "The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, 'Was there ever a city like this great city?' They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, 'Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you.' Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, 'With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints, and of all who have been killed on the earth."
What's up, homies? A good day to you, and welcome y'all to Chap in the Hood.
Yeah, that's right. This show's hella down.
Yes. I am Sir Charles Leybridge Stuart Fotherington. And these are my chums, Sir Fix-a-Blunt.
Hey, what's up?
Fahad Muhammad Rakim.
Peace to you, my brother.
And my main homeboy, Butterknife.
Hey, yo, what's up?
I say, what's up, G-Dog?
None, Holmes. Just chilling and shit.
And to my old school peeps doing time in Stony Lonesome, keep your heads up. Fight the power, my brothers.
Yeah, fight the man, yeah.
Well, what we do here is discuss the contemporary issues of the day that confront our post-9/11 society.
Yeah.
Along with some scamming, slamming, and of course jamming with the OGs.
Yeah, keep it real.
It's all good.
You join us as we were discussing the difficulty of easily obtaining large quantities of dank in a security-obsessed society. I was voicing the opinion that...
What? Oh, shit!
Oh, man.
Hey, yo, heads up.
A carload of members of a rival crew has suddenly rolled up on our crib.
Damn.
I say, homies, heads up on this shit. We don't know what they intend.
Yeah, watch out for that shit.
Oh, my.
Look through the door, brother.
Damn.
Someone is approaching the door of our humble cottage.
Damn, watch out for that.
Look out.
Damn, careful.
It's all good, gentlemen. Do not fret. For I got my hand in my pocket and my fingers on the trigger.
Hey, it's all good. Know what I'm saying?
Got your back, fool.
Got your back, brother.
Hello, hello. What's all this, then?
Good heavens. It's Sam Smythe, the most infamous dodgy bastard this side of the Atlantic.
Yeah, that's right, Charlie, and I'm here because I'm right pissed, you git.
Oh, dear. What seems to be the trouble, dear chap?
You be stealing some of my best raps, mate. I'm right fit to cap your ass right now. I know you blokes are biting my lines, and now that I caught you, your ass is mine.
I'm terribly sorry. I don't understand, my good fellow.
Hey, see, this fool saying, like, you, like, stole his rap and shit. You know what I'm saying? You, like, stole his rhymes.
Ah.
You, like, stole his rhymes and shit, yeah.
I see. Well, dear chap, I have the advantage. You see, I got a dove sack, and my posse's got my back.
Got your back, fool.
And even if you got away, well, then, we gotta follow you home with the chrome.
Hey, we got you covered.
Well, mate, my boy's got you all surrounded, like, outside. So I got the drop on your sorry ass.
Shit, he's got homies all up
in this shit. He got hella homeboys outside.
There's hella fools out there.
So, will you admit you ripped off my best snaps?
I say, this does look like a bit of a standoff, for I cannot recall biting a single rhyme of yours.
Look, sport, don't make me break you off something.
Do you know, I believe a few caps on your arse will quieten you down, my dear boy.
Right, well then, there's nothing else for it.
Hey, yo, you better not try, motherfucker.
Hey, step up, fool.
Get that motherfucker, man.
I say, before we do this thing up proper, I couldn't help noticing that it's 4:20.
Hey, yo, it's 4:20.
Sure, you pie owl. Blimey, you're right at that.
And you do know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
4:20, that's the type of smoke. 4:20's down for this old school bloke.
Well then, how about some hits from the bong, as it were?
Do what now?
Hits from the bong, old boy. You see, a bong is a water pipe for smoking dank. The dank is filtered through the water. When you take a fat hit, the pressure drops in the holding chamber, so the smoke gets pulled through the water.
You think I don't know what a bong is? I roll in that get low hood too, squire. Let's take some fat green hits from that five footer.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, Governor. Oh, what?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Lovely. Blimey, that's the chronic, that is.
Hey, yo, this shit's clogged, dude.
Say, that pipe's bang.
This shit's hella clogged.
That's rather fat one. Yo, don't hide the crop, because I got the easy wise.
Hey, yo, look out with that cherry, fool.
Oh, bloody hell.
You're gonna burn your shit.
What seems to be the trouble? What?
Oh, bollocks. I'll burn a hole in me brand new dicky.
Damn.
Don't trouble yourself about that. You may have one of mine.
What?
I say, Butterknife, roll us some fatties, Holmes.
Damn, fool. I already rolled up some hella fat spits. Look at that fool.
Hey, I got the munchies.
Oh, bugger. Beam me up, Scotty. That's the dank, that is.
Tally-ho.
Oh, blimey, mate.
Damn, I'm fucked up.
Damn, I'm always
all this booyah
up.
Has given me hella cotton mouth.
Yeah, it's worked up a right fine thirst in me as well. Have you got anything to drink?
Oh, yes. Are you down with Mickey's?
Well, I used to drink them every day. Straight 40s to the head, fool.
Butterknife. 40s for us all.
It's all good.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we must conclude our business, as it were.
Ah, damn.
Right, what were we on about?
You know, call me daft, but strangely enough, I can't seem to remember.
Hey, yo,
they forgot what it was about to bust a cap. That's fucked up.
Yeah, that's hella fucked up.
They forgot
that shit.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Hey, yo, trip on this, Governor. You wanna go score a fat key then, Charlie?
Indeed. Let's go half on a bag of dank.
Then we can go down the pub and bomb up on a Guinness. Maybe throw a few darts, like.
Oh, yeah, man, I'm all up in the Guinness.
Spot on. You read my mind, old bean. Let's roll up on that place.
Damn, let's go.
Well, once again, we outta here. So, as always, let me leave you with a few words of pithy advice. 1. While you were at your job working 9 to 5, the Beastie Boys were at the garden cold kicking it live.
And 2, remember, to all my peoples in the pens, keep your head up, keeping it real out in the field, y'all.
And if you don't know...
And if you don't know...
Now you know.
Let's go, brother. We go.
Come on, fool.
Well,
we're waiting on your ass.
We've got a slide. This bit's been played out. See you around. Peace out. Cheerio. Pip, pip, and all that.
I do have another idea to cash in on all this entropy, and it was inspired by an event that happened when a mentally unbalanced would-be terrorist, traveling under the unlikely name of Richard C. Reed, outwitted heightened security and attempted to set off an improvised explosive device on a flight from Paris. Is this development just what it appears to be? The latest in a series of terrorist plots, engineered with diabolical cunning in order to undermine the foundations of our democracy? Or could it just be the next big thing? Well, hold on to your stiletto heels as you feast your eyes and ears on the hottest cultural debut this side of the globe. My very own new signature series line of exploding footwear that I call simply Shockers. Yes, Shockers. Now you won't have to worry about the mental detectors of passé fashion picking you up on their radar. Shockers come in a variety of easy-to-wear, hard-to-detect styles that will get you where you need to be. And in this busy day and age, who doesn't need to be everywhere at once? Whether you're hiking lush forest trails in the Sierras, needing to make an impact at that all-important power lunch at Spago's, or just detonating somewhere over the North Atlantic, Shockers has a look that's right for you. Take, for example, the sleek yet affordable Semtex pump. It comes in a wide range of sizes and colors that run the gamut from eggshell white to cherry bomb red, and is perfect for the woman on the go, either at the office or for a night on the town. Our more casually fitted open-toed TNT model is perfect for the busy executive who just doesn't have time to sit down. Or, for the boardroom, why not try a comfortable pair of cap loafers? Just slip a pair of these on before that big meeting and make your mark with style. The blasting cap slips right into where the penny on a penny loafer is. See? Right like this.
You have been listening to Krusty Breadbox, Director of Depressive Premonitions for the No Use Media Deadnet. This has been another year-end Thoughts Anew.
Flight shouldn't be completely safe. You need a little danger in your life. Take a fucking chance once in a while, will you? What are you gonna do? Play with your prick for another 30 years? What are you gonna read People magazine and eat at Wendy's till the end of time? Take a fucking chance.
We are
odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana, are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid fucking economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply and sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a fucking chance. Put a little fun in your life.
The National Cynical Network, the sound of the 21st century.
Before I leave, good evening.
Good evening.
Before I go, can I get you?
Excuse me.
Good evening. Before I go, could I get you?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Before I go, could I get you?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Could I get you before I go?
Ching, ming, ming, ming.
Good evening. This is Tom Brokaw for NBC Nightly News.
What are you saying?
I'm not wearing any underwear.
There's going to be a screaming, you say?
That's going to be a screaming. That means our time has expired. Thank you very much. This was the last recording ever made before the plane went down and Steve was turned into hamburger. And he laughed about it all the way down.
The needle's in the red. The ching, the needle, the needle, the needle is the red.
The needle is in the red.
But it's not in the red down here. I think it is in the red up there because you haven't been drinking beer.
But, that's true.
Bob loved me because
I'm so worried about what's happening today in the Middle East, you know. And I'm so worried about the baggage tree, the system they've got at Heathrow.
But I'm going to Gatwick, so it's a different story. Thanks anyways for the concern.
Gatwick is a little town outside of London, is that what you're saying?
Oh, I don't know about that.
But they've got the IRA there to keep things interesting.
That ain't anywhere near Winter's Lake.
It's a single runway airport.
God, my mother's grave. I'll rip your arms off and beat you to death with
somewhere, anywhere, I don't know. It's the second busiest airport in, I guess, England.
Yes, this may be the last recording, a live recording that we make, barring any sort of unforeseen technological advancement. Of course, now that the fascist hordes are at the door and George Bush is going to turn the rest of the country into Texas.
Holy dog shit, Texas!
This may be the last recording
ever. Texas, private cowboy! Hey, you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down.
If you send us, please leave a message and stop the tone, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
If this is Ronald, it's 8:39. I'll be up to the station to pick you up soon, but you're too stupid to listen to all the way of the message.
So I'll be up there shortly.
You're too stupid to listen to the rest of the message.
It's about.
So
I hate you.
So I'll be up there.
I hate you. You hurt my feelings.
Hi, Phineas. This is me, Phineas, and, well, you're gay.
Ichura. How rude.
Don't get technical with me.
Ichura.
Open your hole. Open your
Good evening.
And welcome. Incredible news. Amazing. We'll be interviewing General Johnson Newport. But first, friends is word for Beam Enterprises. Friends. Oh, that's all I could think of. Hello?
Ichuta. How rude.
You want to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual. You want to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual. You want to see me cry. I wanna die. It's not unusual. You want to go out at any time. But when I see you out and about, it's such a crime. If you should ever wanna be loved by anyone, it's not unusual, it happens every day. No matter what you say, you'll find it happens all the time. Love will never do what you want to do. Why can't this crazy love be mine?
You have been listening to episode 40, Midnight Voice Jail, called 2001, because that's what it's called. Okay, the year 2001, episode 2001, Midnight Voice Jail, produced Phineas Narco, National Cynical Network. Visit web www.nationalcynical.com is for free. Okay. And also www.geocities.com/voicejail is good. Midnight Voice Jail, produced Phineas Narco and National Cynical Network. Part of 115, played by Al Newport. My character impersonated from famous person, not really me. I'm not good enough to make my own voice. I steal my voice from celebrity and not really who I am. And why are you hitting me? Ow! I don't know what else to say.
It's not unusual, you want to be mad with anyone. It's not unusual, you want to be sad with anyone.
But if he hit me,
find that you've changed at any time. It's not unusual, you want to find that.